You are listening to Baseball Zealot Radio.
Welcome to Baseball Zealot Radio. My name is Tom Nelshoffman, and I'm coming to you from Urbana, Illinois. Today we have Chuck Lucas on. Hello, Chuck. How are you doing?
I'm doing good, Tom. Looking forward to today's show.
Yeah, we have a really exciting show today. We have Mark Payton. He's the webmaster for RetroSheet.org. RetroSheet is a baseball a stats site that has a box score. It digitally records a lot of information on baseball. Chuck, do you use RetroSheet?
Here's RetroSheet. I look up box scores. I'm working on 1959 season. I look up box scores. I look up transactions. I think you can go actually day by day. Mark can correct me. You go day by day throughout the season and see the standings. You can check. The linkage is just phenomenal, Mark. You know, there's a transaction for a day in May of 1959. You know, Larry Doby's traded, and then you can see later on his last game in the majors, and then you're linked directly to his last game in the majors. Works that way for managers, I believe, too. So it's
That's correct. Yeah, I'm glad you guys asked me. I've been looking forward to it. It should be a lot of fun. And as far as what Chuck was just saying, we now have records of almost every game played from 1957 through last year, through 2006, on the site. Our goal was to get a play-by-play account of every major league game ever played from 1871 forward and get them all up on the site. That's an ambitious goal. I don't think we're going to need it while we're still around, but we can always help and hope, and we still work on it. And as a practical matter, that meant getting games from 1983 and earlier, because Bill James started Project Score Sheet, so fans started collecting play-by-play accounts in 84, and won't go into the details, but essentially everything from 84 on has been collected by someone other than RetroSheet.
Right.
RetroSheet got started in 89. It was the idea of David Smith, who's a biology professor at the University of Delaware, who was involved with Project Score Sheet, and so was I. And his idea was, well, we're going to have 84, let's get 83 back to the beginning. And we've made surprising progress. As I said, we have almost every game starting in 57, both leagues up there. And as we work on things, we add some older seasons. We've had some people interested in some older National League seasons. So we have 54 National League, 1911, 1921, and 1922 National League also up there with play-by-play accounts of most of the games, box scores for those years also.
So what's the process of going about and getting these box scores? How do you go about and getting that data?
And the play-by-play.
Okay, well, the box scores have all been published, and we have copies of newspaper accounts. So the box scores themselves, they're not all in computerized form, but that's not the challenge. The challenge is getting a play-by-play account, a score sheet for each game. At the beginning, the clubs were very helpful. The Orioles were one of the first clubs to help. And they had, you know, complete copies of all their score sheets back to 1954 when they moved to Baltimore.
Okay.
Unfortunately, they didn't preserve the Brown score sheet.
No.
So we keep running into things like that. The clubs will have them back. A certain amount. We have everything the clubs had, but then they either had to clean out or they moved offices and they didn't preserve them. We also got a lot of score sheets from baseball announcers, the broadcasters.
Mm-hmm.
And after that, we just get them from a lot of sources. One where we have volunteers have done a lot of work back up until the 1950s, afternoon newspapers often published play-by-play accounts, sometimes only for the first few innings, sometimes for the whole game, but this was before the era of television, so people would come home from work and they'd want to find out about the game that was played that afternoon. So we've been able to get a lot of accounts from those, and we get accounts just from a lot of places. It's surprising how many people cleaning out attics, find scorecards their parents or grandparents caught, just, you know, games they caught on the radio or in person. Yeah, we recently picked up some for Kansas City that we were looking for.
Hmm.
So too bad the fellow, he had some older ones, but they were Cardinals ones we had, and Kansas City didn't start till 55.
Right.
But at least we picked up some, and, you know, one interesting one, a fellow just got in touch with us. He was a teenager living in New York City during World War II, and
mm-hmm.
that was a time when we had very few games.
Right.
He would score them on the radio, and he just kept sending us, he must have sent us about 50 games he scored in 43, 44, and 45.
Wow.
Right. So we get them from lots of sources, so we're hopeful we'll be able to get them all.
Yeah, I'd have to think as long as the score sheets have been around, somebody somewhere has, you know, scored them.
Sure.
But,
right, yeah.
Going back to Mark, several years, when I first discovered your great website, and again, I was particularly interested in 1959 for whatever reason. I'm replaying that a year and trying to revisit that whole year. I remember you missed a few games, and I think you had it on the website, Most Wanted. You know, you had three or four games that were still waiting to finish out that year. Is there a way, you know, if somebody who's listening to this that hasn't discovered your website, is there a way, or do you have it pretty evident on the website which games are missing and which contributions are looking for from the masses out there?
Yeah, if you go to the website, we have a link both on the main page and on the menu on the left that says Most Wanted.
You still have it. Okay, good. Yeah.
Yeah, and it goes back to 1947. We need more than before 47, but starting in 47, we had more than half the games in each season.
Oh, nice. Nice.
So that we decided to list those. If somebody finds something older than 47, just let us know. The odds are we need it.
Right.
And so, yeah, I would ask people if they visit the site, it's retrosheet.org, to either click on the Most Wanted on the list or on the homepage. It says, can you help? And that will bring you a list of the year. So if you've got any old score sheets sitting around, go look in your attics or whatever before you throw anything out. Or in your parents' attics or grandparents' attics. You know, if they were baseball fans, they just might have gone to a game and scored it. And we're pretty good at interpreting score sheets. So about every system there is.
The score sheets, I imagine, have been around since the dawn of baseball, right? I mean, is that pretty common to go back to 19?
Listen, Chadwick was one who developed the score sheet back in,
I'm not sure if he must have a score sheet, but he sort of developed the first box scores kept track of the data.
That's right.
Yeah, I mean, they must have been a lot different, but people were keeping track, and they wanted to know, often just how many runs a player scored and was responsible for.
Now, I know that, I'm sorry, Mark, now Bill James had Project Score Sheet. Now, does he either unofficially have any involvement in Retro Sheet? I'm sure he's aware of it, right, at one point?
Oh, he's very aware of it. He's been helpful, very helpful. Retro Sheet is an all-volunteer organization. So he has helped us, even though he's not a formal part of it.
I also remember reading somewhere, and I forget, you do accept donations. You're not out there soliciting, and it's not in your face at all when you go to the website. But I do remember reading an article, I think it was the article that ultimately directed me to Retro Sheet, about maybe it was the wonderful book that I had read a couple of years ago about the stats in baseball, and they talked about how we would accept donations, and if maybe you can even give the listeners a little idea how they could help as far as...
I mean, we're in good financial shape, but we accept donations, and on the front page and the menu on the left, sort of at the bottom, it says donations, and it will tell you how you can make a donation. We are a 501c3 organization, so if you itemize your deductions, it would be deductible.
And one thing I do like about the webpage is that there are absolutely no advertisements at all on the webpage. I do like that.
Yeah, that's one of our policies. It's to be completely non-commercial. Something you were talking about before we got started, how a lot of sites use our data, and we place absolutely no restrictions on the use of our data. That was part of the founding philosophy.
Okay.
Was we wanted to support fans, so, you know, commercial sites can use our data, they just have to give us credit. Sometimes it's a little embarrassing. I'll get an email saying, you know, pointing out something on another site that's just out and out wrong and saying, you've got this messed up. Well, it turns out it isn't something they got from us. Not that we don't have mistakes on our site. We certainly do, but it turns out something that they messed up on their own, but they left the impression everything came from us. So it's,
yeah, there are a lot of databases out there, or I should say web pages that use your data as a back end, and some of the things that they do are amazing, but you know, they couldn't do it, you know, without RepreSuite.
I mean, that was one of the purposes. I mean, we wanted to get all this information, but the reason to get was to support fans, support research, and Dave Smith, the founder, realized pretty quickly that if we tried to control how it got used, people wouldn't be as willing to help us out.
Now,
the easy solution is just don't control it, don't charge for it, and everybody wants to help us, which is great.
That's a pretty amazing philosophy, and very rare in today's, you know, today's society. I think today so many people are they have so many clauses and they want to put so many restrictions on their data and everything, and you're just saying, here, take it, do what you want with it, and, you know, have fun with it.
Credit for it.
As long as you give me credit for it, and you give us credit for it, and, you know, boom.
Hey, Mark, how many contributors do you have, from various sources that are involved in the RetroSheet website and the projects?
Well, as I said, it's all volunteers. I'm not sure the exact number of volunteers, but we've been around since, I guess, 18 years now. It's probably over 1,000 people have volunteered, maybe a couple thousand have helped one way or another. There's some people who do more than others, but we just get lots of help.
That sounds good.
Yeah, it's thousands have helped, and there are, probably several hundred who help regularly.
Well, I think for me, myself alone, I know I hit that website often, so your hits are up from me, you know. One of the things I like to do, and living in Chicago, I've had the rare fortune of, and you know, being a fan for 40 plus years, I've had the opportunity to see, you know, Cubs and Sox games. And I have also a saver, so I have a bunch of my ticket stubs, and I also tend to remember a lot of the games I went to. I love using your site. I haven't done it yet. I'd love to put together a scrapbook of my ticket stubs, and you know, print the box scores and the game, and the play-by-play for the games that I've attended, and the other fans I sure could. I mean, there's a variety of ways you could use your site, and that's a fun one for me too as well. So
now,
there's a link on the bottom of the page. You can see how many hits we get. I'm just looking at it, and it looks like at this point we're getting about, on most days, between 2,000 and 2,500 unique visitors. That's not hit.
Wow.
And per week, it looks like we're getting unique visitors. I'm just scanning this. Looks like it varies during the time of year, between 8 and 17,000 a week, and per month just goes up. It looks like 40 to 70,000 a month.
That's
the last 3 months. Yeah, so we do get a lot of visitors, which we like.
Sure. Now, your site has more than just box scores. I was on your site. I was on your site today.
Yeah,
and I noticed that you had a kind of a little humorous feature where you had a list of all occurrences of people, batters, batting out of order. And you wouldn't think that would happen very often, you know, in today's, you know, time. It happened just like a couple years ago where I think Dusty Baker was at fault. So really, I guess it doesn't surprise me too much, but.
Yeah, and that's
that was kind
one of the most, con- Yeah, that's one of the most confusing rules when it happens.
Right.
So if you go through the list, you'll see some cases where the umpires messed it up afterward.
Uh-huh.
And in one case where I think it was Dallas Green, realized the other team batted out of order, and he pointed it out because the guy didn't hit into a double play, which
okay.
he thought should have been called.
Right. Okay.
And as a result, the guy got to hit again and hit a home run. So he was sort of dumb. I mean, normally, if the guy batted out of order makes an out, if the other team doesn't protest, it just stands. But that was someone. Yeah, we have a page we call Special List where we've tried to collect some of these unusual things. One which we just updated recently is called Lost Home Runs. That's both home runs because the game is postponed, it rains before it's an official game, or home runs where are lost for other reasons. We just recently added one like Chili Davis in 1992. He hit the speaker in the Metrodome with a ball that was clearly going into the stand. And a ball in the hitting the speaker is still in play. It's not like it hit a wall.
Right.
It bounced back, and the second baseman caught it, so it was a home run turned into an out.
God.
But, there are a lot of reasons that home runs get lost, maybe passing runners on the bases, which is another of the special list. Just umpires making mistakes.
Anything recent on the being passed in the base? I'm sorry, the home run turned into a double or an out. Has that happened recently? I remember the famous Harvey Haddix near perfect game in 1959 was a famous one. Has that happened recently?
Well, I'm going to click on, I've got the site up here. Runners on the bases. Well, this wasn't a lost home run, but it happened two times last season.
Did it really?
Players, sometimes they're not paying enough attention,
but in
1976 there was a famous one on July 4th where Tim McCarver hit a grand slam, except he passed the runner who was on first who didn't notice what happened, so he ended up with a single and three runs bad in, because he was out for passing the other runner.
And by 1976, Tim didn't have too many, not that he really had a lot in his career anyway, he didn't have too many homers, so to lose
all
of those.
No, I'm not sure if he had other grand slams or not.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Well, that's a painful one. Oh, that's funny. That's good stuff.
Yeah, so you're gonna find all sorts of interesting things, unusual things, on there. We've got a list of all the triple plays. Games played at alternate sites, like we had earlier this year when the Indians had to move their series to Milwaukee.
Yeah, that's a neat one. And then a couple of years when the Marlins played the Expos at U.S. Cellular Field.
That's right.
For the Hurricane,
right.
And it was more frequent in the past, but a lot of things have happened. Then we have one we haven't had for a while called Strange and Unusual, and some of them are really weird.
Give us one of those if you could, Mark, if you can.
My favorite one is a play from 1970 where the batter struck out, but it ended up being put out left fielder to shortstop to left fielder. What happened, the batter, this was a Tigers versus Twins game. I didn't see it. I'm even a Tigers fan. The batter was the pitcher, Earl Wilson. He struck out, but the catcher dropped the ball, but he didn't realize he dropped the ball, so he rolled the ball back to the pitcher's mound. But the third base coach realized what had happened, that the umpire hadn't ruled the batter out, told Wilson just to wait until the Twins were just about off the field, and Wilson started running. At that point, the left fielder hadn't quite gotten off the field. You can find the details of who on there.
Oh, that's funny.
Realized what was happening. So he went and retrieved the ball. The shortstop had gotten about to the dugout, came back, ran to home plate. Wilson had already rounded third base when the shortstop had gotten the ball of the mound. He threw the shortstop at home. Wilson retreated towards third. The left fielder went over to third. Took himself from the shortstop and tagged Wilson out.
that's great.
Now it even gets funnier. Wilson hurt himself doing all that running and had to leave the game.
Oh gosh, no.
And the Tigers catcher Bill Freehand with his tongue very much in his cheek said, well, the problem was whoever the left fielder was wasn't hustling off the field. And Wilson would have been able to score. So
gosh,
that's about one of the weirdest plays there, but there are a whole bunch of them there.
Well, that's great. That's the allure of baseball. Look at the game two of the ALCS in 2005 with the famous A.J. Pierzynski and the Doug Eddings umpire. You know, it happens to this day, but it's unbelievable. That's great.
Right, but that was even weirder since no one realized except for the coach and maybe the left fielder what was happening. So
that's great.
So we have a lot of, we call that strange and unusual. That's on the special list too. But for example, if you're interested in managers, we've got, you know, essentially the records of every manager ever. And you can see, you know, how his team did, which teams he managed for.
Including head coaches for Tom, right? The head coach experiment that the Cubs had back in the early 60s.
Oh, right. College coaches,
right.
Yeah, we'd have those in there, I guess. I'm not sure if we call them all managers or only the games when they were designated as managers. But if you can go back and, let's see. We have things listed by franchise, and I'm going to go look at the Cubs and see who we list as the managers for that year. Yeah, so for 1961, we list how many managers here?
I don't even recognize
some of these names. Vinny Himsel, Harry Kraft. Oh, Himsel came back. Elvin Tapp. Harry Kraft again. Himsel, Tapp. Luke Klein. So we have their actual record and by the days.
Wow.
When they were considered the Cubs managers. And then it went on in 62. They only had three in 62. Looks like Tapp, Luke Klein, and Charlie Metro. But you can find all the information about how many games they managed, what their record was, on each of their stints as manager.
There's so many great things on the site, Mark. There's another one I see. You have for all 3,000 hits, you have the day they did it. And I think you link over on more of the recent ones. You have the box score, then you link right to the box scores on those.
That's right. We have
milestones
for hits, home runs. Yeah, that's the milestones for hits, both career totals and season totals, home runs, stolen bases, and for pitchers, wins, strikeouts, and saves. So if you want to know who Steve Carlton struck out for his 4,000 strikeouts, you can see it was August 5th, 1986. I don't know if we say who it was, but we've got the date. And should be a note in that. If you just click on that, go to play-by-play, and I hope we have a note on that saying it. Maybe not.
Well, the links you have are really good on the web. That's great. If I had to go on a desert island with just one website, I think yours would be the one.
Right. Now,
it's a choice. But don't take your wife. My email is something along the line of, my wife's mad at me because I spent so much time on your site.
Tongues
are very much in cheek when they say that.
Yes.
If a baseball fan wanted to volunteer, or if they had information that might help you, what's the best way for them to get in contact with you?
They can send me an email. My email address is at the bottom of the Skype. I'll give it to you. It's retro, R-E-T-R-O, to the number 2, at Pankin, P as in Peter, ANKIN.com.
Okay.
And, what we're hoping for is people will find things in their attics or wherever on these games we don't have accounts for. But another thing, a lot more common, that's very helpful, is fans will point out things that we've missed.
Okay.
Like that homer at the Metrodome, the lost homer that Chili Davis hit in 92. We just found out about that in the last week. A fan wrote in, gave us a link to the It's actually the Twins website. They had a sort of a Metrodome history, and it was listed there.
Okay.
And we had missed that one because apparently on our score sheet for it, nobody pointed out that that really should have been a home run. So we get a lot of things where people tell us things where we can miss it. Sometimes there are things that are just wrong, and we're more than happy to correct it. Find out, check it out and correct it. And there are certainly wrong things on there because sometimes the score sheets we have, have errors in it, or just sometimes someone messed up along the way. Sometimes it's even a programming error, but those are pretty rare now.
Right, right.
Yep. Yep. Anything in the works upcoming that we can look forward to in Retro Sheet? I mean, in terms of new seasons or just new little nuggets that you like to put out there that you can give us a sneak preview of?
Well, I mean, what we're doing in best retro fashion is we're working backwards on the seasons. What takes the most time is just what we call proofing them, going through, comparing day-by-day records. We want to have all the major records correct, or at least identify where they're different from the official records. Some things like a lot of the fielding records are just impossible. I mean, even things like putouts are hard to get matched up with the official records. But we want to get all the major hitting and pitching category where, they either match the official records or we know where our discrepancies are. So we're working backwards now. We're back to 57. I would hope, and there's no real schedule for it because it depends on when the volunteers get things done, to add some seasons further back in the 50s. Every so often we come up with ideas, new features to add. One that just sort of we did because this is the year celebrating Jackie Robinson's debut, the 60th anniversary.
Uh-huh.
We just put up a special page with more data about Jackie Robinson, what he did, than you can imagine. That's under the special features. Turns out we have copies of Alan Ross' score sheets. He was Branch Rickey's right-hand man.
Wow.
Forget which network he worked for in the 60s.
Yeah, NBC, I think it was, Mark. I remember him doing the Game of the Week with Kurt Gowdy.
Right.
Yeah,
but he was sort of before Bill James. He wasn't, mm-hmm. He didn't publicize things like Bill James, but he was very detailed. Some of his score sheets, not only did they have the pitches, they even had his own special code on the location, the type of pitch. So we were able to take those. So we have Jackie Robinson's career, because Ross started with the Dodgers in 47, just to, for things working out nicely. So we were able to put together a lot of information about Jackie Robinson that, just going all his splits, but even going beyond that, we show how he hit ahead in the count and behind in the count, or behind and even in the count for most of the year. Some of the years the score sheets weren't quite complete, but we have some unusual lists, like he stole home 19 times. We've got the games and the pitchers who are on the mound when he stole home. He was also caught stealing home 12 times. So we've got that listed. We've got a list of everybody who ever pinch hit for him. Not very many. People who pinch ran for him. How he did against every pitcher he faced, and both by the names of the pitcher and who he faced the most. That was Robin Roberts. Didn't do that great against Robin Roberts, but he did better than most people did against him. So we just add as part of our contribution to celebrating the 60th anniversary of his debut. So I'm not sure, let's see, normally when we're about to do something, we put it on the homepage under the coming sooner or later part, but we don't have any real new things. The basis of what we do are the event files. We use the play-by-play files, and they're the basis that all these other sites use to a large extent, because you can take those and do just about anything you want with them based on your programming ability. We've been reworking the postseason event files, and we're going to get those back up there. They were back up there a couple of years ago, and there were some problems with them. So I'm not sure there are any new, really new features coming up except for just more data, more news.
That sounds great. Is there any thought at all given to or any discussion about, getting anything with the minor leagues? I know there's a lot of fans out there that have a passion on the minor leagues.
No, we've sort of decided that's just, too hard. Given the resources we have and what it would take to get there. We've gotten requests to post spring training, games and data. We ruled that one out for the same reason.
Right.
Sounds good.
Well, Mark, I really appreciate you, taking the time to be on the show. Like I said, we've been looking forward to having, someone from RetroShoot, on our show. And I want to make sure we give out that, web address one more time so people can, who, any baseball fan out there who, for some reason, has not heard of RetroShoot, and I doubt there aren't that many, but let's give out that, web address one more time.
Okay, it's RetroShoot, R-E-T-R-O, the word sheet, all is one word, .org.
And I'll go ahead, I'll link that.
There
on
is a RetroShoot.com, but that's not us.
You know what?
Somebody taking advantage of our name.
Just before the show, I was going to a website, and just by rote, I typed in com, and you know what? And I saw that site, and I like, got, you know, oh, those guys, why are they doing that?
we've been a little smarter, we would have reserved that. If that's not us, we would reserve that URL, but we weren't that smart when we were doing
that.
It.
I realize that.
And for all I know, there's a RetroShoot.net out there.
Yeah.
If it isn't ORG, it's not us.
No, it's definitely not yours. All it is a collection of links that have nothing to do with you, and let's make sure people know that it's .org and not .com.
That's right.
But again, it's a fantastic site. All of my baseball friends know about your site and use it, and I highly recommend it. Your data is used in a lot of other sites that I also like to use, and I think it's fantastic that you basically give people rights to do what they do with your data, and I think that's great. Chuck, do you have any other questions before we end the show?
No, I too want to thank Mark, and maybe you can do it again sometime. This has been a good show, and I've enjoyed it.
Right.
And you've given me, before I discovered RetroShoot, I confess to say, pay money, for I don't know what service it was, or some individual that was selling a pitching rotation for a season, a particular year, and it wasn't a lot of money, but still, then I discovered RetroShoot, and I thought, why am I paying for box scores, and let me give it to somebody, send a donation to them, And also,
I will mention that RetroShoot does take PayPal, and for those of you out there who use PayPal, they will take PayPal, and that will, if that makes it easier for you to donate to RetroShoot, then go ahead.
One more thing too, Tim, I think maybe you just clarify, and maybe the listeners already have discovered it. You're not necessarily looking for original score sheets. They can keep those and sell them on eBay or whatever, but just the copies of the play-by-play. Is that correct, Mark?
That's correct. We want the data. We don't need the thing. In fact, we have people who monitor eBay, and we try and get the sellers to make a copy for us if they're willing.
Sure.
In some cases, we've actually gone out and bid on them if they haven't gotten too outrageous.
Right.
Sounds great. Yeah.
Well, Mark Pankin, I want to say thank you for being on the show, and I do appreciate your time. And like Chuck says, maybe we'll have you on again sometime on another show. Keep up the good work.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun, and now that I discovered your site, I have to go listen to some of your other podcasts. Just looking at the titles, it looks like they're going to be quite interesting.
All right, we'll take care.
Another
Mark,
good time waster. Well, wasting, that's the way I say. Another good way of spending your
space. Exploring our hobby. Everybody's got a hobby.
I love it.
Very good.
I love it.
Take care, Mark. Bye-bye.
Okay.
Thanks, Mark.
If you want to email Baseball Zealot Radio, you can email us at feedback@baseballzealotradio.com. Our web address is www.baseballzealotradio.com. And our phone number, if you want to leave your message at our voicemail, you can call us at 217-883-4571. Chuck, that was a pretty fantastic show. I really enjoyed listening to Mark.
I enjoyed it, and I want to go to the website and find out about those unusual
I'm already there, Chuck.
Well, I'm going there right after I get done with this. I'm going back on there.
Okay.
Sounds good.
All right. Well, have a good week, Chuck. I'll be talking to you next week.
You too. Take care, Tom.
Bye-bye.